Bible is a wonderful book. Is that a book of theology? No, definitely not. Not a book of a lot of doctrines. No, but through this wonderful book, sorry. Through this book, it is the only way that we, as human beings, as people, can really know and understand God. Because this Bible is the living Word of God. A lot of people may say, I don't believe. Well, why not? Why not? You've read so many books in your life, right? Have you ever told the professor at the university, I don't believe. I don't believe in the economic books. I don't believe in your calculus books, physics. Have you ever said that when you went to medical school, I don't believe in this anatomy book, a biochem, right? Or physiology book, I don't believe it. Have you ever said that? You just took it as true, right? Why? Why? Aren't you a skeptical person? No. I don't believe in, surgery book. Have you ever done that? You went through what? Food science? How did you learn all this food science? You just keep on thinking by yourself at home every day and you came out with a book science, food science? There has to be some basis. Right? Otherwise, you're going to be, whatever you are. What did you study in LaSalle College? What was your major?
Economics.
So why do you have to go to economics? Go to college. Just stay home and you'll be a wonderful economist. No. And how did you become what you are today? Because you read a lot of what? Books concerning economy. Right? You never doubt those books, did you? No, why would you doubt the book that the Lord has given us through so many prophets throughout the ages? So many prophets. Beginning from Moses in the first five books. And you have the historical books. Then you have the books written by many psalmists. And the main one is David, he's the greatest king. And then you have the prophets and Ecclesiastes written by the most wise king. And nobody dare to say, Solomon is not a wise person. Nobody ever said Solomon is not. Have you ever thought Solomon is not? He's a charlatan, a con man. No. You believe in Einstein? Why? What is so wonderful about Einstein? E equals mc squared? Just that little formula, you're so wonderful man. E equals mc squared. What's so wonderful about that? He didn't invent it, he just discovered it. He didn't create the energy, did he? And all the mass in this universe. And the speed of light, did he create it? Who did it? God. And how come you believe in Einstein, you don't believe in God? And how is God going to reveal himself to you? And you say, oh yeah, show me God, I want to see. You want to see God? How often have you seen Pinoy? You think you just say, I want to see Pinoy, and Pinoy will show up in your home? Huh? You think he'll just show up? I don't believe in the president of the Philippines unless I see him. Pinoy, show yourself to me. You think President Aquino will just say, okay, I'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock at your home. How about that, Frank? You think he'll appear at your home tomorrow at 9 o'clock because you like to see him? No? You can't even see Pinoy, how are you going to see God? You don't know that we who are fallen human beings, full of sin and unrighteous, you want to see the holy God who is righteous and glorious. You think you can see that? Can you look at the sun? Why not? It's up there. Stare at it for a few seconds. You cannot even look at the sun. S-U-N. Not S-O-N. S-U. But you know, the Lord's face, Revelation tells us, his face shines as the sun in its might. If you cannot look at the sun, you think you can see this wonderful God. The Bible says you cannot see. You know, Moses asked God, may I see your face? Have you ever asked God, I'd like to see your face? You know what the answer was? No one can see my face and live. So, I will just pass through you and you can see my back, if that's good enough. That's what God told Moses. So, then how can you know God? Through this wonderful book. Anyone who's seriously seeking after God, they have to come to this book. You want to become a medical doctor, food science? How many stack of books do you have?
Lots.
A lot. God only gives you one. And you didn't even want to read it. One day when the Lord comes and he said, but Lord, I don't know you. Why not? Have you ever heard of a book called The Book? You know, the Bible simply means the book. It's the book of books. That's why it's called the book. The Bible means book. You read so many books. You read so many books. Why did you? Maybe you're not a good reader. I don't know. But, you know, you have read so many books. Why don't you read the book? I've been dealing with this wonderful book for over 50 years. Every time I read it, it just refreshed me and lightened me. Because it is not about doctrine, it's not about theology. This book, if you really want to labor on Christ, and you want to, because we're talking about the inheritance in this few days, the wonderful inheritance. This book is about the living God, the triune, wonderful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you read this wonderful book, you will find out that God is not only the creator, like the first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You think nobody created. If I tell you, Lorraine, this lamb, nobody made it. You know, it just bum 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 after 10,000 years, a lamb came up by itself. And it shines even. Would you believe me? it just existed by itself. Would you believe that? Why not? It's possible. No? Is it possible? Really? You think it's possible? Tell me. Even if you kill me, I says no. Somebody created it. Somebody designed it. Right. GG. How about that? How much more are you more complicated than this lamp? Johan, aren't you more complicated than this lamp? And you believe somebody must have designed this. Look at this young man, nice young man. You think nobody designed him? How come your nose is not turned the other way around? A lot of things will just drop into your nose, actually, if it's turned the other way. How come your ears is this way, not that way? You won't hear anything. The eyes, not only to see, but to focus. An automatic focus. You can tell the distance. You can focus night and day immediately, autofocus. If I tell you a camera is not designed by anybody, would you believe me, Lorraine? But those two eyes, you know, it's just by evolution, 1 million years. And suddenly two eyes came out. How about that? Is it written in your medical books that the two eyes, have you ever? Oh yeah, I went through anatomy books. They've never told me that the two eyes are just bam, 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 bang, bam, bam, bang, 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 bang. Two eyes. No. You have to realize that this wonderful God created all this. Where do you find that out? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then all of these things that you see today. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, I believe, that it is through the wonderful creation that God manifested his power and his glory.
Yeah.
Definitely. So this book tells us about God. If you don't read this book, you will never know God. No, you will never know God. Even after you believe that Jesus Christ is God and the Son of God who accomplished redemption from you. Okay, after you believe and accept the Lord, then how are you going to know Him? Why do you think the four Gospels are written? So that you can know this wonderful God. And the Bible is written in a very living way. It is not written in a theological manner. It is written in a historical way. Have you ever studied history? Huh? At least the history of the Philippines. Do you know Dr. Jose Rizal? You do, right? Who is he? Do you believe him? Your national hero? I love the Philippines. Mangoes. I love the Philippine mangoes. You believe in Dr. Jose Rizal that he existed? How do you know he existed? Have you seen him? Then why do you believe he exists? Huh? You read it, right? Somebody told you in school, Dr. Theresa, right? You believe? What did you believe? Why didn't you stand up and tell your teacher, no, I don't believe there's such a person as Dr. Theresa. Maybe he's not a doctor. Maybe he's Josie Theresa. Why? Why do you believe? Because this fact, this is historical. There's so many witnesses. And he wrote what? Nolimi Tangere. What does it mean, Nolimi Tangere? What language is that? Filipino language? No, that's Latin. What did you say? Oh, goodness. Go back to school. Read some more books. You believe, right? There's so many proofs that Dr. Theresa really exists. This Bible is written in a historical way, how God interacted with his people. And there are so many witnesses. Moses was a witness. Noah was a witness. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So many of the prophets, they have seen God in a way that God appeared to them, not directly, but as the Son, but God spoke to them and told them what to tell to his people. Right. So, what's wrong about that there is such a book? How else is God going to make himself known to him? If I see you for the first time, and I was introduced, and you said not one word, how am I going to know you? What is your name? Where are you from? Where did you go to school? What did you study? Where do you live? How am I going to know you if you don't say one word? Right? Impossible. Because the word is the very expression of yourself. God, being a living God, he spoke to us in this Bible. Many people say, I don't believe. I ask one question. Have you read it? No, I don't believe. Very strange. You haven't even read it and you don't believe. What if it were true? If you read it 100 times and tell me you don't believe, okay, I have nothing to say. But if you haven't even read one time this wonderful book and you tell me you don't believe, I'm going to ask you, what did you not believe? The Word. If you want to labor on Christ, it is not possible. Right? Now, why did I introduce this message this morning in such a way? Because I want to go back to, in this outline concerning the matter of laboring in the good land. Now, I want to go to point C, the testimony of John the Apostle in his epistles. Right? Let us go. Because if you want to labor on Christ, you really need the word. Let's go to 1 John. John is the beloved apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was called the beloved apostle. That's why I love my name. I hope I will be a beloved apostle, a beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen. In the first epistle of John, he says that which was from the beginning. Meaning to say, in the beginning of his experience with the Lord Jesus, which we have heard, what? We have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning Jesus Christ. Did he say that? Oh, don't nod your head so quickly before you hear the word. Right. It is not written concerning Jesus Christ, but concerning the Word. Now give me a good reason why John did not say concerning Jesus Christ. Why did he say concerning the Word? Have you ever thought? Right. Suppose I see you. I see this person here, and I kept looking at him. Now I know him. Do I know him? Just because I see him? Yes. I see a man here. At least I know he's not a woman. And he's not young. And he doesn't have much hair. And he has glasses. Large beards. Now, do you think I know him?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. I just know him outwardly. He can be any man. Well, he's also a man. So what's the difference between these two men? Just the looks? Definitely not just the look. Now, what kind of a man? A good man? A bad man? A Batman? What kind of a man is he? I don't know. I just know he's a man. But there are so many men here, so many people here. How did all those disciples, John and Peter and James and John, Matthew and Mark, and all those people that, not Mark, but Luke, Matthew, John and James and all these people know the Lord Jesus just by a picture? Oh, somebody, a lot of you can see a lot of pictures, right? With long hair and long beard and smiling face, and that's Jesus. You think that's Jesus? Are you kidding me? Maybe he is Jesus because he looks like a man, except he didn't have a beard and no hair. Not Jesus, right? Oh no, he's not Jesus. Why? No beard and no long hair. And not wearing a sandal. He's not Jesus. You think everybody with long hair, long beard is Jesus, right? You know, while you hang a picture on the wall and say, that's Jesus. Although they saw him personally, but he didn't say it. Because there's so many men there. So what makes the Lord Jesus stand out that he is the Messiah? The living Word of God. His very expression, His Word. His very life that lived out. So, he says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands even have handled, not concerning flesh and blood of this person, but concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life. My goodness, this is the life of God. And how was this life of God manifested? By the living Word. Whatever the Lord Jesus spoke, it was the speaking of God. Whatever he touched, whatever he said, and people testified, no man spoke like him. He said a word to that fig tree, and the next day that fig tree just withered away and disappeared. He commanded in Cana to fill the water pot with water and then tell them to pour it out, and it turned into wine. Hey, who can do that? Can you do that? No. And he commanded the wind and the storm to stop, and it stopped. Hey, tell the typhoon to stop. You think if you speak one word, typhoon, stop, it'll stop. You think? But when the Lord spoke, peace, be still, he says, all of a sudden, people were surprised, even the wind listened to him. Can you do that? No. But the Lord can, because he's the creator, he's the master of all. And then he spoke concerning God's purpose and God's plan. If somebody wants to kill you, okay, and hang you on the cross, what are you going to do? You're going to curse them. Just you wait. What does the Lord say on the cross? Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Because they didn't know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Suppose you are the one on the cross. Father, wipe them out. Wipe them out right now. Wipe them out. Why? Wouldn't you do that? Well, I would. Because I'm not the Son of God. By this wonderful word, they've seen it, they heard it, they touched it, they were with him day in and day out. They saw his manner of life. They saw what this man has done. Just a touch, and the person was healed. Like just a word. You remember that centurion? Come. He didn't say, but he was the Lord. My servant was sick. Heal me. And then the Lord says, okay, I'll come with you. The centurion says, no, you don't have to come. I am a centurion with others under me, and I just said one word and they will do it. So Lord, I'm not worthy you come to my house, but you shall say one word. And my servant will be healed. The Lord marveled and says, I've not seen such faith. Let it be done according to your faith. He went home and the person was healed. And he particularly extra inquired when he was healed. And it was exactly the time when the Lord says, your servant is healed. Can you heal like that, Dr. Lorraine? You could give injections, give medicine, and hopefully, right? What a wonderful word. The word of life. Right? So John especially talked about this man of the word. In John chapter 6. Everybody left because the Lord says, eat me. I'm the bread from heaven, you have to eat me. And the Lord talked about, I'm not talking about eating my flesh, but my words are spirit and life. And they all left and said, how can this man give me his flesh to eat? And only the disciples stayed, the 12. So the Lord says, why did you stay? Why didn't you go? Peter says, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. They experience that this word really works in them. the experience, the living Word of God. They experience through the Word that God is real. The Word is not doctrine. You know, there's so many books written about the Bible, and so many so-called messages, and they didn't work. Yeah, you know, they give you a big head, you got a lot of knowledge here, but it did not work in your life. But the Word of the living God will change your life, will enlighten you, will give you light. And through the indwelling Holy Spirit, this living Word will become reality in your life. So the Word of God is so important. And that is why John testifies this. Yeah. The life was manifested through the living Word of God. We have seen it. And we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father originally, with God to the Father. And now it is so wonderful because nobody stressed the matter of this wonderful living Creator who is called the Father by us. Because when God created us, He wanted us to be His children. Now, in order to make us His children, His life has to come into you. There's no other way to be children of God without His life in you. That is why when the Lord Jesus came, especially John, he testified, the Lord said, I came to give life, to give you life, and to give it more abundantly. It is the life. Not the teaching, not the theology. Hey, you can have a lot of theology, but look at the corruption there. It's not a religion that the Lord wants to establish on this earth. No, He doesn't want a religion. What does the living God want a religion for? Your mom and dad, Brian, establish a religion in your family? Is your family a religion? Why not? So it's not a religion, what is it? It's a life. It's a family. God didn't want to have a religion, He wants a family. A religion with a pope and cardinals and bishops and priests and a hierarchy. Are you the pope in your house? Your children call you Pope, or they call you Papa. Pop, not Pope. Would you prefer them to call you Pope? No, it's a family, it's a life, it's a living relationship. It's a living relationship. So it is the life that the Lord wants to give us. And the church life today is a family, not a lazy family. Are you a lazy son? Oh, I hope not. Right. You have to be a normal, hardworking farmer. Of course. Well, pretty soon I hope you'll have a farm, right? But hey, listen, this is the life manifested, and this life was with the Father. Why don't you want to know your Heavenly Father? Right. Not a religion. That which we have seen, verse 3, and not that which we have learned and heard in theological seminary. We heard and declared to you, that you may have fellowship with us. Wow, again, now this word fellowship here. Fellowship is not to talk. You know, we Christians use this word fellowship. Oh, okay, I'm going to have some fellowship with you, meaning to say, let's talk. Fellowship is not to talk. The word koinonia in Greek means what? A partake. A partake. This table with a cup and with the bread makes us a partaker of the body of Christ. And the word partaker is exactly the same word as fellowship. Or in another translation, they call it communion. Right? That means you partake of it. You take that into your being and it becomes a part of you. Now, John said, our fellowship of this wonderful life is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, when I get into the Word to labor on Christ, to gain this Christ, I'm not just learning some teachings and doctrine in my head. No, that is no good. I'm not saying that you will not gain any proper knowledge, but you become a partaker of this wonderful life of the Father and of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is what I want. I don't want to know just the meaning or how to interpret this and what is the Hebrew word and this and that and that. No, I want to know Him. I want to handle Christ, to enjoy the reality of Christ. And this is important. And the first thing that this thing tells us here, that John testified, and these things we write to you in verse 4, that your joy may be full. Are you joyful after you eat the Word of God? Or you have headache? Oh, I don't understand it. I don't understand that. It's too hard. Oh, I don't know what it means. Oh, no, forget it. You got a headache. No joy. Is that the way you read the Bible? If you do, if that's the way you read the Bible, you have no joy. Oh, after you go to a restaurant and eat, aren't you happy? Right? After you eat the ice cream, wow, aren't you happy? Or you got a headache. You go back again, right? Yeah. This is the way after you eat the Word of God, you labor in the Word, you touch the Lord, you handle the Lord, you see His glory, you become a partaker of this wonderful Father and the Son, your joy will be full. You'll be joyful. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, this must be the reality of the experience of life. Now, there's a message. It's a very simple message. Even my message is already too complicated. What is the message? What John says. And this is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. This corresponds to the gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Let me tell you, if you come in touch with this living Word of God, you will be filled with light inside of you. You will not be in darkness. Yeah. In Him, there is no darkness. It's not good for us Christians to walk in darkness. If you do something that you're afraid other people may see, you better not do it. Don't do it, because it is darkness. If it's darkness, nobody sees, right? So, you don't want anybody to see, turn off the light, then you see nothing. Then you'll be walking in darkness, then you will do a lot of things you're afraid the police will see, your friends might see it, you're afraid I will see it. So, turn off the light, you walk in darkness. But if you know the living God, you will know God is light. If you want to work in God's farm, you want to labor against this Christ, the first lesson you have to learn is do not walk in darkness. In John chapter 8, the Lord says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You walk in darkness, you don't know God. Because God is light, and in him is absolutely no darkness at all. And if you see so much darkness, you know immediately there is no life there. Get out. It's a very simple message, not complicated. The person keeps lying and twisting the truth and hiding things from you and not telling you the truth and doing things in darkness, you better run away. Right. Now, let me continue to read to you. So it's a very simple message. Then John says very uncomplicated and simple. If we say we have fellowship with him, with God, who is light, and walk in darkness, what did he say? It's okay, don't worry, he'll forgive you. Did he say that? Brian, what did he say? You lie, as in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you what? You lie. As simple as that. Right? And you do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and together we will be a partaker of this wonderful God. Everything is in the light. If you try to hide something, don't tell him. If I tell you, Charlie, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell it to other people, okay? Promise, yeah? You know this man here, he has a hot temper. So you better be careful about it. But don't say it to other people. Keep it for yourself, a secret, okay? If I don't want him to tell it to other people, what do I tell him? The best thing for him not to tell other people is I don't tell him. Then he won't tell anybody, right? But what do I have to hide him? What I should have done is to come to him. Brother, don't be so hot-tempered next time, okay? Take Christ as your humanity. Then that's it. No secret. Then I'm in the light. And he is in the light. I'm in the light. But if I go to him, don't say it. Okay. If I'm like that, then you know I'm in darkness. I'm in darkness. No darkness. Walk in the light. You want to gain Christ? You want to have this life grow in you? You need the light. If you plant a seed in your farm and there's a shade and no light, you will not see the growth in that seed. I don't care, you wait for 100 years, nothing's going to grow in darkness. It's not going to grow. Something else grows in darkness. The bugs, the scorpions, the spiders, and the centipedes, they will hide in darkness. No darkness at all. So you want to really labor on Christ? That's the first lesson you have to learn. That's the first message you have to learn. Oh Lord, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. It's so wonderful. Why is it that we need the blood? It is for the cleansing. Because if you're walking in the light, you will see so many things that is not right in you. But what do? You cleanse yourself by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when the Lord died on the cross, he shed his precious blood for the cleansing and forgiveness, not just forgiveness, but the cleansing of all of our sins. What do you see? What do you do if you see a spot in your shirt? You weep and cry and run to your mommy and say, "Mommy, my shirt is dirty." You cry. What will your mom say? "Take it off, I'll wash it in the machine and stop crying." Of course, that is when you're a little boy at 3 years old. If you see something in you, don't let the power of darkness come and accuse you. You see, you're hopeless. No. The enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. But if you are walking in the light and you see, immediately the Lord, by his precious blood, will come and cleanse you. But if you don't see that dirt, then you will have no desire to have it cleansed, right? If you don't know. If I don't know that my arteries are blocked, many times you don't know, you don't even feel it, right? Then I won't go and see a doctor to get rid of it. If I need a bypass, I better do it, otherwise I will pass by. I will pass away. I will pass away. But if I can see it, then I go and bypass. Bypass death. So, isn't it good to know and be in the light? Then, if you're in the light and you're exposed, you see you're wrong, don't try to hide it. Cleanse it. Let the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanse us from all of our sins. Right? But if you try to hide it, and John says, if we say that we have no sin, you are deceiving yourself. If I say, "Oh, no, I'm healthy. Nothing wrong with me. No blockage. I feel okay." What did you tell me? Go have a scan. Right? Go have a checkup. What if the doctor tells you, you need to have a bypass? What are you going to do? I will say, "No, I don't believe it." If your patient says that, "I don't believe it. I believe I'm okay." I'm deceiving myself. But of course, there's also sometimes you have nothing wrong, but you kept thinking something's wrong with you. That's not healthy either. Right? So there's two ways, right? But if you are truly in the light, you go through the MRI and you found out the blockage, I think I've told you one of the stories sometime, right? A brother took another older brother to see a doctor, right? And to have a cardiac checked up. So he came out okay, and the doctor says, "No problem here, no problem." And the doctor told the other person, because that doctor was a classmate of his son in med school. I said, "Oh, since you're here, I'll give you a free checkup." "Oh, okay, he was the one who drove that patient to the doctor, right?" And now the doctor told him, "Okay, come, I'll give you a free checkup." So, okay, why not, right? They're both of age. After the checkout, the doctor says, "You should not go home. Stay here and bypass right away, otherwise you may not survive." the driver who took the patient to the doctor was the one who needs the doctor, and he didn't know it. Sometimes you're preaching the gospel to other people, but you are the one that's really in trouble. So it's always good to go to this real cardiologist, because he is the one who searches the heart and the brain, the hidden part of man. You don't know your own heart sometimes. And I've met many Christians who are like that. Never went for a checkup. Ah, that's not good. Right. But if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. Verse 8. But then here is the medicine. If we confess our sins to the Father, He, the Father, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you, Charlie, what's the trouble with you? No trouble. Any pain? No pain. Are you okay? I'm fully okay. If I were the doctor, I'd tell you, go home. Go home. You're all right. But, you know, the problem is many times we don't know our true condition. Right? But if we confess our sins, the Father, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because Christ died for you and paid the price at the cross for your sins, so God could forgive you and cleanse you from all, not just some, unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word, His life, is not in you. Ah, so wonderful. So, you can realize that we need the Word. The living Word, not the doctrine, no. The living Word, which is life, which is living. So if you want to labor in the good land and you don't care, you don't come to this Word, you won't know anything. No. So, then, in chapter 2, there is another very important factor. The word is outside here, written in the Bible. The word. And of course, this word is living, because it's the word of God. Then there is another wonderful factor that is in us here. Let's go to verse 20, right? Because the first part, it still talks about the light and this wonderful life. Then, in verse 20, it says, here's another important factor. Okay, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you, now this is important, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Right? Here it says, now before that, I will perhaps have to read verse 18. Little children, you know, John was about 90 years old when he wrote this epistle. He's a grandpa. And a grandpa always called everybody little children. That doesn't mean that they're all little children, right? Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Antichrist means, in this sense, many elements in the power of darkness that is against Christ. Antichrist means against Christ. Now, Of course, it is not talking about the Antichrist, the beast that is coming in the book of Revelation. But here in the Epistle of John, it's talking about the spirits of the Antichrist. Because the power, principalities and powers are always against Christ here, trying to hinder us from going on. Just like germs and viruses and all kinds of contamination, Ebola and whatever is there today, right? You have a lot of all kinds of sicknesses. They are the anti-health there. They will kill you, the anti-life. Right? So, hey, what are you going to do? Don't think being a Christian is easy. No, we're living in this world that is full of things that are trying to pull you down. That is why in verse 15 it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Because the whole world is a system of the devil to distract you from Christ. It seems very good, but at the end you will be distracted. Right? In the Philippines, you don't just go into any restaurant and eat. You might not know what you're eating, especially in China, you know. When I go to China, I dare not go to just any restaurant. You don't know what you're eating. It may look very good, the color is nice, it smells good, and it even may taste good, but when you eat it, it's not good for you. So, and this is the system of this world, fooling us, trying to trap us, and trying to kill the light that is in you. Right? So, the book also warned us of so many things that will destroy this life and trying to take you away from this life, right? So, now, how do you know? How do you know? You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, the anointing is this wonderful Spirit of Christ that comes into our spirit and dwells there. Again, I have to tell you the word anointing means Christ. The name Christ or Messiah. Christ is Greek, Christos. But Hebrews is the Messiah. Right? So, the word Messiah means the anointing, the Spirit, anointed by God. You know, when God anoints a priest or a king, it is by the anointing oil. And that anointing refers to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, now dwelling in us to anoint us, bringing all the elements of this wonderful life into us. And that indwelling anointing teach you all things. So now you have the word, and then inwardly you have the anointing. You have to learn as a Christian to listen to the anointing in your spirit, plus the word in the Bible. You need both, because we have a soul, not just a spirit. Man is with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And because you have a wonderful soul here, you need the word. A monkey cannot read any book. Have you ever seen a monkey book? No. Right? Have you seen a monkey reading physics? No. Right? No, because he's not able to. But we need the word. Because we have a higher level of life. And we need a book. But no, the spiritual life, you not only need the book, but you also need the anointing life. A monkey is a monkey life. So you give him a book, useless. But if you have a human life, because you have a human life, then the book is whatever book you read, biology, whatever, right, math, calculus, physics, chemistry, whatever, will help you. Because you have a human life, the ability to comprehend and understand. Now, the spiritual life is even a higher level
You need this wonderful book, but you also need a wonderful higher life, which is the anointing spirit indwelling you, so that you will know all things and all things especially regarding the spiritual life.
The life in the spiritual realm, the things in the spiritual realm, without the anointing, you cannot understand. Sorry. You may understand the letter of the word. You may understand the theology. But to really grasp it and enter into the reality to grow that wonderful spiritual life, you need the divine anointing. This is important. Jump to verse 27. Yeah. It says here, verse 26 first. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. And this is where we all need to pay some attention. Right? If you have a farm, well, there will be a lot of things trying to ruin your farm. Right? If there's a fox, of course, I don't know if you have a fox in the Philippines. The fox will come in and chew, or rabbit, or some kind of a cat, or bat, rats, yeah, of course, rats, right? Raccoon you don't have, right? Squirrels and a lot of things, and then you have all kinds of insects trying to ruin your plants. Don't think that a garden is easy. No. My wife always goes and sprays the garden. Spray. Right? To kill all the whatever is there. Eating the leaves and trying to ruin the tree, right? So there's a lot of deceivers. You don't think there is no deceivers. Right. Now, but, verse 27, the anointing which you receive from him, from the Father, abides in you, he dwells in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Abide in him. Don't run away. Don't reject him. The Holy Spirit indwelling you will teach you all things. And this is the wonderful thing about our relationship, our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ, concerning the life that comes into our spirit. Without that anointing, you have no chance. You have no chance. So, in order to labor on the good land, of course, there's so many. You should read the whole First John. Right? You have to labor in the word of life. You have to learn to walk and fellowship with the Father in the light. For God is light. Remember what Paul said, right? He qualified us to have an inheritance of the saints. Is that all? What did he say? In the light. You cannot have the inheritance in darkness. If you're having an inheritance in the darkness, that inheritance will not help you. But it is in the light. Why do you think Paul added that simple, small phrase, in the light? Because once you and I fall into darkness, you won't see any inheritance. It seems the inheritance just disappeared. Right? So we need the light. Remember that. Right? Now, point number three, do not love the world. That doesn't mean that you will live like a monk. No. You enclose yourself somewhere in a mountain, you know, in near Baguio, and build your yourself in Ipahat and enclose yourself. No, that's not what it meant. But do not let the things of this world catch in your heart. No. And do not covet. Covetousness is idolatry. Right? So here, then you must experience the indwelling holy anointing. This is very important. And if you're not pure, you do not really learn to turn to the Lord and be in the light, you cannot experience the anointing, right? Right. And knowing and experience God as love and loving the brethren. This is important. The second message in John, it's already 12 o'clock. The second message in John is that God is love. God is love. But this love is with the light. If you have love without the light, then it is a strange love that the world calls love is blind. That's not good to love in darkness. If you're blind and love, you might be kissing a monkey instead of somebody. Love, the divine love, is not loving. Because God is light. Then God is love. Because if it is only light, then you see so many things that are wrong, then what? You will throw everything and everybody out. Right? Because you have no love. But if your love is blind, then you'll accept anything, including, I don't know what, ISIS or what. You'll embrace everything. That's not good. Love, the divine love, is never blind. No. First message is God is light. But light must also follow by love. Then you can help other people. But if you're not in the light, you cannot help anybody. You will just embrace it. Oh, yeah, forget it. It doesn't matter. Well, it will not improve the situation. Right? Then, in 2nd and 3rd John, John specifically stressed the fact of walking in the truth. To know the truth is one thing, but to walk in the truth is another thing. No. You may know the truth, but you may not be walking in the truth. That's what the Pharisees are. They know the truth, but they don't walk in the truth. So the Lord called them hypocrite. You know what is right, but you don't do it. So, 2nd and 3rd John, very brief. Epistle, short, very short. But he stressed the matter of walking in the truth. Let us just quickly read, and then I'll finish here. Sorry, we cannot finish our... Maybe we can come some other time together, right? Yeah, Lord Jesus. To the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Right. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God in truth and love. Then verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of you children, what? Walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. Wow, wonderful. Walking in truth. Right? And then the third, epistle also to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So good to be truthful. Right? Again in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Wow, so wonderful. It is really so wonderful. Now, I will end with two warnings. Number one, you know, there has always to be warning, right? Didn't your parents warn you a lot of things? Or just tell you something positive? No? You sure? Oh, yeah, isn't it, Brian? No? Huh?
Always.
Then why shouldn't our beloved father warn us of so many things that will throw us away, right? Yeah. Number one, warning against those who reject the teaching of Christ. You can read it yourself. So there are so many people that's just rejecting unreasonably, right? Number two, within the church, the ones who are against the teaching of Christ is mostly from the outside, not in the church. But those who are within the church, the warning against those who love the preeminence, this is a big problem. You love to be an elder, you love to have authority, just like the Pharisees and high priests, they love to be honored, they love to be respected, they love their position, and everybody must listen to them, etc. Hey, forget that. We only have one who has the preeminence, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body. Now, none of us should steal the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And here, preeminence means the chief position or the presidency. Oh, well. Power corrupts. And complete power corrupts completely. So be careful if you think you're somebody in the church life. Forget it. Like, you will be the first one to fall. And you will cause problems for many other saints in the church life. Right. So all of these wonderful verses, you can read it yourself at home. But in a church life, we are all brothers and sisters. It's a family. Don't try to be higher, better, ruling over other people. No, the Lord wants that. If you think you're the greatest, then you must be the servant of all. So may the Lord really help us to labor, right? And I believe many of you and all of you here, you know what we're talking about. Because this matter of laboring on a good land is a part of the whole package of worship. Because if you want to worship, you must have a harvest and bring your harvest as an offering to the Father. And you have to perfect that. That is our job, to really labor and bring the first fruits of the harvest to the Father, right, to satisfy Him. It's food for God. Okay, praise the Lord. May the Lord really continue with the church in Kansas City and strengthen you all to go on. Okay? Amen. Thank you. That's your Bible.